There's no place to escape to.
This is the last podcast.
On the left. Side stories.
Love your glaze.
That's when the cannibalism started.
Side stories. Yes. I am recording. Recording, little boy. He's a boy who records everything he does. It's me. Except for my shits. I save that for my family.
You don't record your shits.
I know. I save it just for me. We have separate bathrooms, so it's nice. So I could just poop in my own pooping bathroom.
You have to have intimacy, because when it's lost, then you end up like Will Smith getting berated by your wife who cheated on you.
It's a long story. We can't even step into this world. My one world I will step into, it's like, okay, I've ordered furniture from Wayfair.
Sure.
Right? I've ordered furniture from there. And for the most part, honestly, when it arrives, it's pretty dinged up.
Yeah.
Like, I had to go. I put together this DVD, like this media console, right?
Wow.
It took me like 4 hours. I'm covered in blood by the end of it. And at the end of it, I'm just like, I'm doing all this stuff, Wayfair. And then they're saying they're shipping all of these children internationally. And honestly, if I can't trust them to send me a DVD media console without dings in it, how am I going to? I'm going to give you 15 grand to sell me the kids I've turned into soup.
Well, as I said on Abling and Top Hat, I'll take the kid if they put together their furniture. If
the kid puts together the furniture,
give me the kid.
That's like a task rabbit, but it's a task rabbit that I guess that you can film and then send those tapes to the government, and then they watch them all together in Congress.
Yes, they do. Hey, what's up, everyone? Welcome to Side Stories. I am Ben with Henry. What the hell has happened when it comes to conspiracy? This week has been the gift that keeps on getting crazier and crazier and crazier.
Oh, my. Things are just wackety fucking schmackety. We will just address this up top.
Yes.
Wayfair is being implicated in a Reddit-centered conspiracy theory saying that they were openly trafficking children on their website by selling these, essentially these $15,000 cabinets that had names like Sadia. They had names like, they had very specific children's names that people then were trying to attach to the records of missing children, saying that they, under the guise of selling furniture, Wayfair was selling these absurdly expensive cabinets.
But they were not, honestly, though, that is the price of the cabinet. Those are very good cabinets. You heard Mr. Wayfair, CEO Mr. Thomas Wayfair.
Thomas Wayfair thoroughly denied that they were using the furniture company to traffic children. I don't know why, though.
It did seem like the thing that they were most upset was, like, our pricing is accurate. Okay? Yes, you can say we're having sex with children. Sure. You can say we're smuggling children, but our pricing here at Wayfair has never not been exactly that. Wayfair.
Well, they did. There's a lot of bullshit attached to this story. So,
yes.
Number one, Wayfair came under some heat a little while ago for selling furniture to ICE, right? For these various, for the detention center in Texas that was housing migrant children. It got into a lot of trouble.
Nastiness.
That it sold $200,000 worth of furniture to ICE. And so there's some now with this weird, so they already kind of had bad blood. And I didn't know this, to be completely frank. I didn't know that they did this when I was purchasing furniture from Wayfair. I was just getting a media console.
But you know the kids are putting together this furniture, and that furniture is not staying in any of the facilities. I guarantee you there is some bizarre child labor camp going on near the southern border where all of these kids are toiling away on putting together all of the furniture that ends up in some suburban Texas home. There is something going on with that is like, all right, guys, leave the kids alone. I say, let them go free.
They really good. Very good, Kissel. Yeah, release the children forced to build furniture. I don't know if that's true, but I don't know if that's a part of the new rollout Ivanka Trump has, where it just says, find a different job. Is it one of those? Is it a part of that government outreach? Where
I'm not
you're
quite
start,
sure.
Is it going to be us? But they Wayfair has come out and said, and it's true, it seems like these were industrial strength cabinets, perfect for holding a child. But they weren't.
They were not.
Industrial strength steel cabinets that are often sold between $10,000 and $15,000 because they're used for restaurants and they're used for supply warehouses. They're just big old things. But there was nothing in the details of the actual items when you touch it to say, why did this thing cost $15,000? So
right.
It's more of a glitch and a loophole because Wayfair is not. Wayfair doesn't make its own furniture.
Yes.
Wayfair is an umbrella company that people basically, they can sell furniture lines through Wayfair under the umbrella of Wayfair.
Yes. It's basically just the, we do not have to get into the ins and outs of this, but it is just the delivery service. It's just a platform, very similar to Amazon. It's just like a warehouse will have a whole bunch of different goods from different companies and they house them there. That's all that is. But when it comes to Wayfair, the interesting thing to all of this is that people are looking for child sex rings now more than ever. And the
yes.
problem is the truth does not lie on Wayfair.com. The truth lies like anywhere that billionaires are. The truth
look
is
at
like
Epstein. Ghislaine Maxwell, who also just got denied bail. You know, that's one. We actually got one in the win column this week where she was finally not allowed bail. Like, she ever, like, what are we doing here?
Ghislaine is about to win a silver medal for gymnastics because she is going to be flipping so hardcore. It is going to be insane.
I can't wait. But that's Epstein. That's the child trafficking thing that you are looking for. That is the story. Look for stories like that. And what do we know about Epstein? Absolutely nothing. We know very, very little how he made his money. We know very little about the various connections. We don't know how far he went. We don't really know if he was working for intelligence or not. It's all of this like shadows and mirrors. That is where child trafficking in connection with the secret keeping mechanism of the government, that is where it's at. Wayfair is a place where you get a shitty coffee table
that you have to put together.
You got to put it together.
It's
all the work's on you. All the work is on you. And so to me, it's they don't need to hide in plain sight. They are already hiding in hidden away sight, and we need to find them. But I understand why people, they got really upset. What it actually did was point out that Wayfair has a massive loophole where they are not correctly looking at the things that are on their website. Because then they pulled everything down because at first they're like, well, these are just cabinets. So these cost $15,000. But then you notice they pulled it all down because,
right.
you know, somebody at the higher levels of Wayfair was like, why the fuck does this pillow cost $9,000? And they never looked at it. They never even thought of looking deep into the things that they were selling because maybe somebody's asleep at the fucking wheel. And
could
now
be.
You're being accused of child sex trafficking. Now, when you type in Wayfair, the thing that pops up in Google after it is child sex trafficking instead of like Wayfair review.
Sure.
Can I buy a freestanding glory hole on Wayfair?
No, I just wanted another liquor shelf. I fell on the last one, completely shattered it because I drank all the liquor on it, and I need a new one.
I need a new one, and that's what should pop up.
Can you imagine if you ordered a large whatever from Wayfair and just you open up the cabinet and it's just, please, sir, may I have some more milk? Please,
get the fuck out of here.
What happened? Why would anyone order
a
child? I'll never understand. But this is interesting, though, Henry, because unlike Pizzagate, where do you go? Like, let's say, and this is true, like Henry and I, I'm going to speak for you. This is a triggering thing for mental illness. Like,
yes.
Where does the person who is investigating this Wayfair conspiracy, air quotes, we also have a Britney Spears conspiracy we have to get to because always free Britney, always team Britney, love bold
yes.
Britney, leave Britney the F alone. But where does somebody go with this Wayfair conspiracy? Do you think this just kind of peters out or does someone go shoot up a frickin' warehouse?
I mean, we'll find out. We'll decide how far people want to go and how far that they are refusing to believe. You know, Snopes debunked it. Newsweek,
of
you got
course.
Newsweek fucking, they are
Newsweek.
Using the only information that came out about the story came from a Redditor that they just did. Newsweek is using that as their primary source.
Newsweek is dog shit.
It is. We're in a land where there is very little tangible information. Like we're looking at this story. It feels like it's a massive glitch. It does. There's all these weird, tenuous conspiratorial connections to right. everything. Like, they also said if you take the number of the SKU and you put it in this Russian, it's a Russian Google, Russian internet search. I believe it's called
Gulag.
No, that's honestly, that's their Etsy where people sell things that they make in their citizen jails.
Oh.
There's a Russian search engine called Yandex that apparently if you put the SKU number of the various things on the website into the search
of the Wayfair products you want to get.
Yeah. And then you type in SRC USA, it would, these random pictures of little girls would show up, not nude, but little girls' pictures would show up.
Weird.
But apparently it's not just those SKUs. It's any series of random numbers that you put in and then type SRC USA afterwards. And then apparently it's very similar to, it's one of those weird image aggregate sites where it's like kind of like 4chan or an 8chan
right.
where anybody could do. So they all that, and a thing called IMG SRC has also had problems with child porn. So these things are kind of in this weird murky area where you're now just searching on a child porn website to find out if Wayfair is selling children, and you're implicating yourself.
You're pulling
you're getting
the
yourself
old,
in trouble.
Yeah, you're going to be like the lead singer of The Who when you're getting cuffed and dragged out of your apartment being like, I was doing research. It was for research. And then your neighbors are like, never go over to Mr. Peter's house again. He was doing research on little boys' butts.
The thing is, there is dry research and there is wet research. And it's about what kind of moisture level do you want to be at. What level do you want to be at? So who knows? I don't know how that, hopefully this, I think it will just peter out.
Yes, this is just people need to get out of their homes. But I
but
do
we
like
can't.
All, we can.
When we're locked in.
When you force people to be on the internet 24/7, 365, now Wayfair, they don't just sell furniture. They sell children. You did this to us. You made us go down this rabbit hole because we're just staring at the screen and we're like, no way that's just a cabinet.
No
there
way.
Is no goddamn way that's a cabinet.
There's no new TV. There's no sports. There's no
there's
distractions
nothing.
For anybody. Everybody's going insane.
Well, speaking of celebrities, young ladies, Britney Spears, there is and conspiracy. This one, I think, holds a little bit more than even the largest Wayfair cabinet. There is something going on with Britney Spears, and she is talking. I feel like I'm going crazy. Maybe it is because I just had a bunch of whiskey last night because I celebrated having my stuff come to the new house. And I do also have to admit that I did some very controversial dog training, but we're not going to get into that right now.
No, this isn't about teaching LJ to make love to you.
No, it is not. This is about teaching the dogs how to use the wee-wee pads.
Oh, yeah, you have to, because I think they got a free ball it.
But do you know what I did?
What'd you do?
And I don't even know, we'll get into Brittany, but I don't know if this is like how you do it or not.
Reach outside stories, LPOTL at gmail.com. If you're a vet, we do need help to housebreak these pets.
Yes, we do. So I'm the alpha dog. I'm Big Dog Ben. I'm the Roman Reigns. This is my yard, okay?
Yeah, you're 6'7" human.
I'm saying in the house. This is a Dachshund Chihuahua and a Japanese Spitz that I'm talking to, and I'm the number. I'm the lead dog. You guys follow, right? And then of course I just
daddy. Oh yeah.
Yeah, I run around.
Yeah?
And I pick up dog shit all day.
Zip.
So
piss.
What I did was, and now correct me, and then I might have to edit this depending on Henry's reaction because I don't know how bad this is. I went around the house. And I took a pee on every single wee-wee pad. And I said, now this is where you pee, dogs. And then you know what happened? They have peed there ever since. I saw pees
you
on
did it.
I peed, why and
would
I saw
I react
pees
bad?
On every single wee-wee pad. And I said, Jerry Puffin, Papa's peeing on the wee-wee pad. See, that's where you pee. And yes, I did that.
I am afraid to go inside your home, but I will say if it works.
It worked. Because there was a poop and a pee.
How much piss are you putting on these?
No, just a
how much piss?
Just a little bit. Just letting them know.
Yeah, you just zap it?
I zapped it. So I got out of the pool because the pool makes you pee. You know that because you're surrounded by water and you say, let's add a little bit more.
Yeah, sure. And a lot of times you've either been drinking beers or you've been drinking a lot of water. But yeah, sometimes being in the water does make me want
to
pee. Yeah.
So you have to pee. So I said, okay, I'm going to teach these dogs how to use the damn wee-wee pads. So I went to the three wee-wee pads and I put a little pee on all of them. And then it seemed to work. And the dogs looked at me.
That's the only thing that matters.
I don't know if that works. So side stories, LPOTL at gmail.com. Am I the greatest dog genie of all time, or is that just completely inappropriate? I don't know the answer, but I know it worked.
Legitimately, I think you're becoming a dog. Like, that's you becoming a dog. Like, you are moving from man to dog, and connecting with them, because you are like, because they're like a bigger brother. You're literally, they're like, ha, it's cool to go on a wee-wee pad, and that's what you did.
Travis's reaction is not good.
For the next 5 years, she would spend her life living as a dog.
No, this was a wee-wee pad training technique. It was a technique.
Well, if it holds up,
it holds
if
up.
This training does hold up, you technically could write a dog rearing book. Like, you could. If it works. Because some people have a hard time with that. I don't want to, like, corporally punish a tiny dog.
No.
Because you can't go in the house.
No, exactly. I woke up today, and it's like, this is my life now, 38 years old, and I saw pee on the wee-wee pads, and I was just, like, so happy. I was so happy.
No, but this is, you're a mommy. You're a mommy dog. It's, you're a big mommy dog. Now, speaking of mommy dogs, I'm just, you know what's weird is that I had a bigger reaction to you not using towels. And this is actually, like, I actually kind of, like, understand the quarantine alone logic of it. Like, I understand the logic of it. And if it works, it shows that you're deeply communicating with Puffin and Ezra. Like, in a strange way that I didn't expect. You're like Dr. Doolittle, but for piss and shit. It's like all absorbing, like one layer at a time, each inch that gets deeper in my brain. I go, okay, sure. Yes. Okay, you give people news too. Kissel gives people news on Abe Lincoln's top hat.
Well,
it's a lot.
Anyway, speaking of communicating, Britney Spears. She is on her Instagram. Somebody posted a comment on Britney Spears' Instagram saying, if you are in trouble, if you are being detained against your will, wear a yellow shirt. The next series of photos were her in a yellow shirt. What's going on?
We're definitely in page 7 territory a little bit, but I want to talk about the idea of what she is being put under, a thing called a conservatorship, right? So Britney Spears in 2008 was, after suffering several mental breakdowns, this comes from the USA Today, today.com article by Alyssa Newcomb. The arrangement was always been kind of controversial with her fans. She has been under essentially aversion. It's not house arrest, but this conservatorship where
what does that mean?
Is watched over by her family. Her father, she's in a guardianship with her father, and he allows her to be does not allow her to be the sole decision maker about her life and finances. Right now, it's rumored that Britney Spears is worth $59 million.
Woo-wee.
She has no access to her own money.
What?
She has to be given an allowance. She's allowed to only see certain people. Her father controls her entire life.
Isn't her dad the one that, like, I don't know. I understand that kids do want to perform, and I think that's great. But the Mickey Mouse Club and all of that stuff,
yes.
It's like, would you ever do that with your kid? You have a 7-year-old and they're like, she likes to sing. We better bring her to the audition. They can't drive themselves. I just feel like
Hollywood is where all the
pedophiles
are.
Yeah.
I would never bring my child in to impress a pedophile.
No.
The whole point of being an actor is to get through the brain of a pedophile and appear so childlike in your talent and wonder that they grow attracted to your abilities.
Wow.
That's the real key, to be childlike, but in your soul.
Oh, isn't that nice? Technically, that is very good. Stay young, forever young, if you can. Do you think that she is being abused, though?
Well, it sounds like she is being heavily guarded. There was the funny little thing, a viral thing that came out on her Instagram not too long ago, where she casually said that she knocked over a candle and burnt down her entire gym.
What?
Then there is the various... Wait, yes, you should look that up, Kissel. She basically burnt down the gym in her own.
She burnt down her whole gym with a candle?
Hi, guys. I'm in my gym right now. I haven't been in here for like 6 months because I burnt my gym down, unfortunately. I had 2 candles and, one thing led to another and I burned it down.
It took a lot of power. It's a lot of knocked over the candle, things catch fire. You go, oh, no. Oh, what? No.
But
as you watch it slowly consume the structure.
What's in her gym? It's full of steel. I mean, gyms are not necessarily the most flammable of all the things. I think they're just behind a pool as far as flammability goes.
Depends on the house. Did you outfit a gym or did you have a ballroom? Literally, did you have a ballroom that you turned into a gym? It depends on how big and what type of house she's got. It sounds like she's like, it's not like it's like a hotel.
Right.
Like she's got a room in her mansion, whatever her compound is. Right. But she, so that was one thing. She seems like she's getting a little unstable. And there's a lot of people talking about on her Instagram that she appeared unstable and she appeared kind of wild-eyed. Then this yellow shirt thing happened where someone said, hey, if you're in trouble, in her Instagram comments,
right,
wear something yellow. And then she wore this yellow outfit and then did a video that is fairly concerning where it's her looking with her doll eyes in the camera because she's very shaky, not blinking, weird smeared makeup, doing this weird JonBenet Ramsey style shuffle back and forth off on and off camera. Don't know what the hell that's about. Then she posted a thing from, she posted a quote from Arundhati Roy, which called she wore flowers in her hair and carried magic secrets in her eyes, which was just a picture of a rose. But it's the book that Arundhati Roy wrote was called The God of Small Things. It's a story about the childhood experiences of fraternal twins whose lives are destroyed by the love laws that lay down who should be loved and how much. Right? It won the Booker Prize in 1997.
Huh. All right.
So seeing that's another dog whistle. That's another like, hi, hello. Right? This is me telling you that I am in trouble. But we have no, Brittany is now basically saying, everything's cool. Like she's trying to act like everything's cool, but there's a lot of people wondering, is she a prisoner? Very similar to Richard Simmons, which then people saying, is he a prisoner or is he actually just voluntarily staying inside? Which some people say is true because Richard Simmons doesn't want people to see him because he's got hip and feet problems.
Yeah.
And he doesn't want to see anybody seeing him like less than 100%.
Leave Richard Simmons alone. And if anybody doubted that those videos back in the 80s, those exercise videos by Suzanne Summers, they were low-key porno. And if you don't believe that, then you, the proof of that is that you never saw a man watching Richard Simmons. You never saw a dude watching my mother loved the Richard Simmons. She
loved him.
But I'm telling you, there was a strange compromise in America in the 80s where it's like, you can watch this woman work out and show a lot of her body under the guise of being healthy. And that is allowed in a relationship. But you can't do that anymore.
It was great.
It's great.
Back in the day, it was great.
Well, all right,
I mean,
Henry.
I don't know what the hell's going to happen with this story. I honestly think that she is just she's a troubled girl. I don't know if she should be in the troubled woman. I don't think she should be necessarily under the guise of just her father, but I don't know. This is outside of my prerogative.
Yes,
she does have a boyfriend that also looks like fairly annoyed. Like she's always making them do like viral videos and stuff. But I tell you what, she's looking tight.
She does
work out.
This is the luckiest man alive. It's like what's the name of the guys from Boston? Wahlberg. It's like Donnie Wahlberg being married to Jenny McCarthy. You do see like it is hard because I've heard her on Instagram be like, Donnie.
And you just like forget.
But you forget,
Jenny McCarthy's annoying to somebody. Like the woman that taught me how to nut as a boy.
Oh,
ruins
she taught you,
a
huh?
guy's afternoon sometimes. She didn't actually touch me.
No, I don't think
Jenny McCarthy didn't actually molest me.
Well, speaking of molestation, Mr. Zabrowski. This is a special side story in a strange way. There are a lot of current news that really hits home here. Obviously, check out page 7. I'm sure that Jackie will have a lot to say about Brittany.
They're talking about this.
And John Traw, obviously, he lost his wife. Kelly.
Man, John Traw is going to be gayer than ever soon.
Well, so
if Scientology will let him, I don't know if they will. I don't know if, who knows? He might have an arrangement where he's allowed to come out at some point where they can't lose John Traw. John Traw might be too important to the public face of Scientology, because also Tom Cruise has said there's been rumors for a while that he's trying to get out.
Really?
So he could live his real life, but I have no clue what's real and what's not real. It seems like every once in a while there's like a PR story that's floated up saying Tom Cruise is going to get out.
Well, and again, check out page 7. This is extremely entertaining. When it comes to being gay, obviously that used to be much more controversial. So Scientology used to use that as like, this is the leverage. And now it's like that no one cares.
We know you're gay, John Traw. I want you out there, but I mean, mourn a little bit. He should mourn a little bit before he starts with the Carmen Miranda. Because I feel like he's going to get into that level where he's going to be like Nathan Lane from The Birdcage for like 6 months before it all comes back around.
All right. Enough celebrity gossip. Page 7. Check that out. Okay, Henry. Ufology has... It has not been a great week for you guys, has it? And I'm putting... Now I am lumping you into this.
No, it's not me. I got nothing to do with this. I've just been touting the name of MUFON for fucking years. Now I find that Jan Harzan, like the international director of it, just he just tried to buy a child. And so not from a furniture store.
Harzad, he is the head of the UFO Mutual Network, MUFON, obviously. Yeah. He was arrested July 3rd, accused of soliciting a 13-year-old girl. You look at a picture of this guy, he looks like a televangelist. Actually, strangely, not what I would expect from the head of MUFON.
There's some handsome boys at MUFON. There's not a lot, but they mostly move up the chain to the executive area. Yeah, Jan... Oh, God. Jan got a 13-year-old girl.
He was arrested on charges of soliciting a minor, quote, according to police, for the purpose of engaging in sexual activity. Jan Harzan has headed MUFON since 2013. He is accused of, again, quote, soliciting sexual activity from a detective he believed was a 13-year-old girl. Again, this detective, I hope that the detective did not finish the job. Again, that's a South Park episode that I want to reference.
It's literally the same episode.
Can you imagine that, Henry? You're like, oh, I'm here to meet a 13-year-old girl. And when I hear the word detective, I'm just being stereotypical. I think of the fat guy from Batman in 1989.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah, it's him showing up with fucking pigtails and a big old lollipop. I mean, like, yeah, so where do you want to go? You want to go out of, like, where the slide is? You want to go over where the ice cream shop is? Like, ooh, yes, little girl. Ooh, you are a little bit worse for the wear, but beggars can't be choosers.
13, you say? Yeah, 13. Yeah, that's right.
13 years in dog years.
Yeah.
But Jan Harzan... has been he's another stain in MUFON. MUFON's had a lot of problems. MUFON obviously has to change. MUFON's been plagued with a lot of the various local level problems, and I think MUFON should be replaced with a new group.
Really?
I've been talking with a couple of dudes. So there's a couple of people out there whose work I love, John Tenney.
We interviewed John Tenney on Patreon. Absolutely fantastic guy. You can go and check that out. Also, this week's episode of Patreon, we interview Celine Calderon about the Lori Vallow, Chad Daybell case. So you want to start a whole nother... thing, Henry?
Yes. Yes, we really should. We should start a whole other thing. We should just start from the bottom up. We got their resources we can get our hands on. I've been watching Hangar One on Netflix, the MUFON show. They don't have a Hangar One. When it shows the beginning episode of all the guys walking into the big warehouse, it's like the Indiana Jones artifacts place where they put the Ark. They don't have that. There is nothing there. MUFON doesn't. They have very little infrastructure. They take all the money that they can up top, and then they don't give to anything. Like, basically, field researchers have to scrimp for everything. They got to pay for their own gas money. They basically give hours and hours of work just to have Jan Harzan like fuck with everything, just to have him ruin everything. So when it comes down to it, we need a new group. You should also check out the Mad Scientist Pod. Because these guys do really good work on UFOs and fun alternate science, all that kind of stuff. And there's got to be another way. And we're going to get to it.
MUFON has been around since 1969. It claims to be the largest and most detailed, or claims to have the largest and most detailed database of UFO sightings. This guy, obviously, he's been there for 7 years now. I mean, it is... Jan Harzan is no. This is not something new for MUFON. Henry was mentioning some of the scandals. Apparently, in 2018, a former state director, John Venter, he made comments, racist comments about African Americans, and said that we're experiencing quote white genocide.
He went bad in 2018.
What is it like? What's going on?
It's just there's very little oversight. And anybody can run these chapters. And basically, you pay money to get a franchise MUFON chapter.
Okay.
Where you go. So basically you pay into the central hub. You get to call yourself a MUFON chapter. So really anybody can do it. And it just gets to a point where it started as a place for responsible UFO researchers to be. That's where that started. It was official. And it just, it's kind of just gone off the rails. It needs a complete, a total restart.
I love that idea. John Tenney, get on it. Be the start. Be the change you want to see in the world. According to Chris Cogwell, he's MUFON's former director of research. He left because of a quote, racist culture. He says the main leadership levels of MUFON have been problematic for a number of years and provides essentially nothing to the individual chapters, which are for the most part run by decent, intelligent, and caring members of their community. He goes on to say, although everyone is entitled to the assumption of innocence until proven guilty, this is a heinous charge. I cannot foresee any possibility of MUFON continuing, but hope the individual chapters can put their time and energy into an organization that will benefit them as much as they benefit it. So
no, we need to do it. We got to do it. We got to take it back. The people got to take control. People that are genuinely interested in UFOs. We need fucking, we need a diverse group of people. Can we get a woman in there? Just one woman in there. I'm looking at Hangar One. There's just not a single woman on any one of these shows. Like, I know Natalie's into UFOs.
Sure.
There's a hot lady that's super into UFOs. I know they're out there. We need to get shit going. We got to change the whole
even
world of ufology. And honestly, during this time period, we got a lot of time.
Yes, indeed.
So maybe this is one of those kind of like weird silver linings to what we're going through right now. It's like maybe this is the time to rebuild another one of the institutions.
The only thing less seen than UFOs are women in ufology. So please.
It's unfortunate.
Yes, absolutely.
And so, with that, I would like to say this one story about how that there is a massive UFO flap happening in Ohio, which I think is very interesting. There, it is all over the place. The UFO Awareness Day was this week, right?
Okay.
It was in the beginning of July. And this stuff, it's kind of crazy. It looks like one was a disappearing white orb, which appeared over the Cleveland sky on June 2nd. There was another orb seen in Strongsville.
Whoa.
There was a golden fireballs were seen in Oberlin. There is a fuck ton of these. If you look at the Ohio, what we got here, newfork.org. This is the website I was talking about the other day, NUFORC.org. They have a great do a series of sightings by state per month.
Okay.
Right now, Ohio is sitting at over 2,800, and it's got a huge, huge amount.
Awesome.
If you look at these amount, these fucking, holy shit. Just since 2020, it's been a massive amount of sightings just on this shit.
Have sightings increased since the pandemic? Do you think people are paying more attention now? Or
sightings are up.
Okay.
So we talked about it a little bit with John Tenney when we did our interview with him. Sightings are up, and I think it's got a lot to do with people looking at the sky. And there being a lot of attention put to it. You got Marco Rubio saying that we need to really talk about what is the actual UFO research mechanism of the U.S. government. And he's not just saying that to ignore from every single thing that he's in the middle of that's totally corrupt.
That might be like the greatest reach for a politician ever to be like, what about taxes? What's going on with the economy? Have we thought about UFOs? Have we thought about that, though?
I think we should take some time out of this busy day of talking about how we're trying to defund the police. Well, what we should do is talk about one time a small gray entity. He placed a white rod to my forehead, and I woke up. And the only way to describe is that some people say spread eagle, but I'm going to say spread condor. Because my ankles, my left ankle was at my right shoulder, and my right ankle was at my left shoulder.
Right.
And my left ankle was at my right shoulder. And the only way I could describe it is that it was a family of probes were put inside of me, and they were joking about calling me a rack of lamb.
Wow. So, Senator, what does that have to do with increased testing when it comes to COVID?
We got to get these UFOs before they got to stop making my butt a hot dog party.
You know what? You've got my vote as long as you go to therapy. That's great. All right. So
horrible story.
Horrible story.
Yeah. MUFON's got to change.
MUFON has to change.
Just as a beginning, ufology needs to get in the hands of the new generation of people that are curious, smart, young, and ready to go. Like, I really do think so. I think that we need it, because I will say, any person that I've met on the road for MUFON, it's never the coolest person.
It's usually the security guard that works at our shows, and that's why we love them.
I do love them.
Yeah, Jan Harzan, who knows what the hell's going to happen with this guy again? And I'm not giving advice to someone who wants to solicit an underage child, but it's never a 13-year-old. No 13-year-old is ever like, yeah, that UFO cock, that's the thing I'm craving today. It's like, no 13-year-old wants to see you, old, weird man. So
No one wants to have sex with someone who has the same name as the middle Brady child. You can't. Jan is it's not a good masculine name.
It is not. All right. Well, speaking of crazy stories and disgusting content, you know, music teachers, they get a bad rap.
Are we even going to talk about this fucking story? This story is
disgusting. Wild. Music teachers get a bad rap. A lot of people say, oh, what do they even teach? How are the kids learning? I had a great music teacher.
Teachers are great.
I love music teachers. But I'm just saying, sometimes they get dissed on. However, in this case, the criticism might be valid. Apparently, a music teacher, he gave a bunch of semen-tainted flutes to a bunch of children.
Let's break this down. So this is the headline. Music teacher who photographed girls using semen-tainted flutes gets 18-year prison sentence. I'm glad he's got 18 years.
Yeah, my headline here from the Los Angeles Times is, music teacher linked to semen-tainted flutes pleads guilty to child pornography charges. So there's a lot of ways to approach it, huh?
Do you know that if it's semen tainted, if a bubble comes out at the end of the flute?
I actually don't want to know how they figured this out, because somebody literally must have been like, why does this taste like my uncle's oysters?
I can't even with this shit. All right. So the California Attorney General's office announced that his name is John Zaretskis. He's got a statement. He was indicted last year. So he ran a program called Flutes Across the World, an organization that allowed thousands of children all over the country to decorate flutes. This is like where the Wayfair shit starts to make sense. Like, why, if you're crazy, you think it's real? Because this man ran a charity where he distributed flutes. He distributed them.
Hey, flutes. Henry, I have an idea. We're going to solve all the problems. What is it, Ben? Flutes.
No, but if there's no cum on those flutes, that's a nice idea.
But what would a flute even do? If you're all of a sudden you're just making them homeless cartoon characters.
You're missing. Oh, no. And your caricature of a homeless man is a man with a bindle and a flute.
Yes, you never saw a husker, a busker, a person busking for cash like Curtis Lowe.
They never have flutes. Their lips are always dehydrated. It's very difficult to play a flute.
That's true.
When all you've been drinking is the Ripple. Okay. All right, you have to be hydrated and you have to have a type of lip. It's actually a whole thing. You have to have a type of structure of lip. But this was supposed to be a nice program where kids who wanted to play the flute. Because I believe Natalie talked about how she wanted to play the flute, but they ran out of flutes because clarinets were viewed as sort of the nerdy instrument. A flute seemed kind of fun, and I think the reason why it did seem kind of fun was because of Jethro Tull.
Exactly. Is this the Jethro Tull effect? As soon as they gave him best metal album or best rock album and beating out Metallica, what is going on with the flute?
But this was supposed to spread awareness of flutes, where children in the program, you go and you buy a flute. If you get a flute through Flutes Across the World, one child gets its fresh flute.
Right.
And then they would send the other flute to another child in another country. A nice idea, right? But according to the Orange County Register, Deputy Attorney General Amanda Casillas told the grand jury that Zaretsky, he filmed or photographed himself ejaculating into the flutes while either into a hotel room or at his home, and then The music teacher then photographed the children using the flutes in the classroom.
God, this is like next level disgusting.
It's just the man with the flutes. He's got all the flutes, and he's putting cum in the flutes. And none of this is good, because it's not like it's a fun... Like, if a bunch of consensual dudes thought it would be fun to come into a bunch of flutes and, like, play it into each other's mouths, or if everybody had this idea of, like, if you wanted to do the consensually, you know, you full of flute, all chock full of cum, and then you spit it out at somebody, like, I don't know, something you do on your 40th birthday,
whatever.
Something you do at a bachelor party, like, bachelorette party, something, anything that's fun.
Yeah, if it's all consensual and everyone's an adult, I think that's great, but this is... The opposite of that. So in 2009, Zaretsky founded Flutes Across the World, as Henry was talking about. It's a nonprofit through which he contracted with schools to help children craft and decorate PVC pipe flutes. And when you hear that they're PVC pipe, it's even more disgusting
for some reason. And then they shows the photos of him with just a flute in each hand. Waving the flutes, pushing the flutes on these kids. I just do really big finger holes in some of these drawings of flutes.
Yeah.
What's a fipple?
In 2017, officials warned parents in 7 California school districts of the potential contamination of the flutes they received. School children participating in the program would make 2 flutes, one for themselves and one for a child in need. And I guess at some point Zaretsky would come in the flutes.
No, well, he did it the one... I'm not going to say he did it the one time. I'm not going to say that's the only time he succumbed to this.
No, I think if you do this once, you do it like a million times.
Yeah, it definitely didn't seem like a new idea. But he has here on this whiteboard, there's a picture of him with a whiteboard and it says to-do list. And it says, finish decoration, give away flute. Tie on yarn, sure. Tie on photo, write note, sure. Decorate back of photo and finished persons for their flute, sure. But then it says, it's like a race at the bottom. And then it says, come in the flute.
Come in the
flute. So maybe he's making the kids do it too.
Oh, I don't know.
At least he didn't get that far.
Yeah, the Orange County
Register. Is that good to say? At least it didn't get that far where he was training his students?
I guess if you're trying to find the brighter side to this, again, check out the brighter side on LPN. Great time to plug that. If you're trying to find the silver lining, I guess that's better. But that's,
I am devastated today.
This episode is surprisingly disgusting.
This is an awful, dark, evil episode.
The Orange County Register reported that state attorneys accused Zaretsky of recording himself ejaculating in the flute, and they have him giving them
to 5.
Don't just
mumble, read over it. The way you're reading over it, it's like a father trying to catch up to the nighttime, where he is in the nighttime story for his kids. Don't just stumble over these details.
I'm sorry.
Again.
He ejaculated into the flutes. Is
I
that
know
better?
That he did.
And then he gave them to 5 elementary school girls. Either way, this guy probably should not be teaching and probably needs to. He needs to go get some rehabilitation.
You know what, Kissel? I'm thinking you're right.
Good Lord.
I think you're right. This whole country needs a fucking restart. We need a restart, man. We really do need to sit and think about the way we are living our lives.
You know what we have to do? Unplug it. Plug it back in. Wait 15 seconds. Plug it back in.
So this comes one of our favorite newspapers, the Daily Mirror. We love this story. And, you know, honestly, and what a great, just they are always on the mark.
They are always reflective of society.
What a great reputation that they have. It's just called Ghostbusters Discover Groans in Cemetery. They're investigating are from a midnight porn film shoot. Now this comes from Stephen Jones.
I'm just happy these ghost investigators got to see a booby before they died.
Hey, ghost investigators get a lot more butt than UFO investigators. I am going to tell you that is true. So real life Ghostbusters discovered moans and groans in a cemetery they were investigating were from a midnight porn movie shoot. The group were stunned to stumble across a couple having sex amongst the tombstones, surrounded by men filming with cameras and sound equipment. The disused 19th century graveyard in Skillcoats, East Yorks, is meant to be haunted with ghouls. Kids singing Ring Around the Roses and ghostly monks, including one called Henry, wandering around. Ironically, when the duo realized that they were being watched by strangers, the woman reacted like she'd seen a ghost and bolted. The guy ran after her, desperately trying to protect his privates from the brambles. This comes from the guy too. Good job when all 12 people on the tour were adults, because sometimes kids come along. One elderly man was so incensed he was ready to chase after them with his walking stick, but I persuaded him to calm down and eat his sandwiches.
Wait, was this during the day?
This is at night. They were doing a ghost walk at night with a tour group.
And an old man was just eating a sandwich while going on the ghost tour?
You hungry?
I guess so.
You should have seen me the first time I went on that ghost tour in New Orleans. I almost brought my po' boy for the Verity Mart. I wanted to, but I felt like I was already a mark of me just sitting there with a big thing full of Cajun shrimp going like, yeah, so we raped her in there? Like, I felt like that was a lot.
Because you're also, to be fair to everyone who does a ghost tour, you are the worst. You are, because you are like, you are such, if you had a po' boy, I think that you would just get punched in the face.
We went with French Quarter Phantoms again when we were back in New Orleans, when we were filming our live shoot, and they fucking crushed it. They took us on a private tour and they didn't say anything about my eating habits once, even though they took us to a restaurant. But, and he ends with, we once saw a monk walking through the cemetery, but nothing like this. You're right.
Yeah, what do you mean you saw a monk walking through the cemetery? Yeah, of course that doesn't compare to two people having sex on camera. How is that even close to equivalent of excitement?
I feel like nowadays what they'll start doing is looking for, now it's porno shoot hunting. That's your new thing, where you go looking to see where people are doing new COVID-safe porn shoots, and especially here in Los Angeles.
Yep, and ironically, you'll probably find an actual ghost, because the ghosts know that you're hunting for it. You got to go 4D chess. You're hunting 4D for chess. Porno. And then you'll find the ghost. All right! Well, speaking of creepy topics, this week's Hero of the Week is a cryptid, and it's coming to us from Alabama, and it is called the Alabama White Thang. I just want to make this Hero of the Week. White Thang. I just want to make this Hero of the Week because I don't think we talk enough about cryptids and the wonderful world of the large beyond, and I believe in this White Thang Alabama cryptid. It's basically an albino Bigfoot. That's what they say.
So it's an albino cryptid. Does that mean it's like extra maligned within the cryptid world?
Or maybe it's seen as a god. It has glowing red eyes. It has sort of a kangaroo head, kind of like cat-like head. And people have been seeing it since the 1900s. It usually occurs in a triangle between Morgan, Etowah, and Jefferson counties. People have reported sightings in Walnut Grove, Moody's Chapel, Happy Hollow, and Wheeler Wildlife Refuge, just to name a few. So this is a new cryptid out there on the scene. I mean, relatively speaking, when it comes to cryptids, it's only been around since the 1900s. It's having fun. Yes. It's got the cat. It's got the head of a cat. The creature sounds like a woman screaming. Other reports have said that it has a foul odor, like that of a dead animal. And whatever it is, the Alabama
white
thing.
They always smell bad.
Well, they don't shower.
But Wendy, but my dog doesn't really shower, but I like her little doggy smell.
Yeah, they're cute. So this is the Hero of the Week. It is the Alabama White Thing. If you are out in Alabama, please, this is a fun thing to do during COVID. You can socially distance because you will have no friends because you do this, so I know you'll be alone. But go find the Alabama White Thing. See if you can't get it on footage. See if you can't get it on videotape. Send it to us, and we'll show it on the live stream.
I would adore that. Yes. I would love that. And I actually have a listener letter from Bigfoot. It's a Bigfoot-related listener.
Ooh,
letter.
Let's do it.
I was born and raised in Western Washington on a small peninsula on the Puget Sound. It's all pretty thick forest, lots of evergreen and maple. And in some places, there are energies that are hard to explain, unless you believe in the native legends. I lived on native land, and it was a little trailer park on the edge of some woods with a horse pasture across the road. Since I was very young, I would walk through those woods frequently and heard some chilling noises, drumming on trees, sometimes surrounding you, coming from every direction, long, slow whistling coming from the woods at night, and strange whoops and calls that sound different than any animal that I know to live out here. Because they say the Bigfoot makes like a, ah!
Oh!
Ah!
Or like, It's like Tool Man. Ah! It's like Tim the Tool Man. Okay.
It is. Especially with his views on women.
Don't malign the Sasquatch.
One instance stands out, though. I was about 16, and we were walking from the suburb-like neighborhood to my boyfriend's at the time, and as the houses thinned, it was nothing but thick evergreens on one side of us and the horse pasture on the right.
Hmm.
We both got the feeling to turn around. What we saw chilled us to the core. A massive humanoid was sauntering down the road towards us. It stood around 10 feet tall, and its huge shoulders were swaying with its long, bulky arms hanging at its side as it walked slowly on the shoulder.
Dang.
It was dusk, so the woods were dark behind it, and the sky was a bluish gray, still pretty light out. The thing was absolute pitch black, as if devoid of color, and the feeling we got when we saw it was hard to describe. We actually weren't afraid of the encounter. Even bears were common, but this thing was unreal.
Hmm.
We turned and without a word walked the 500 feet or so to his house, and what we described as experience to each other, we agreed that we'd see the same thing. I just love seeing a Sasquatch. It's been a while since I've fucking seen someone say that they saw a Sasquatch. Bring him back.
Damn.
I missed the hell out of him.
Absolutely. That is awesome. All right. Very cool.
So this is, I don't know if this is Marcus's second cousin, but it feels very similar.
Okay.
Because they start off, I am Marcus Jordan's second cousin. I grew up in Texas as well, and I didn't actually realize how crazy my childhood was until I was quite a bit older. And fully realized it after listening to y'all. When I was
is that how he sounds?
I don't know.
Okay.
When I was born, we lived in town in a tiny brick house in 7th Street. We lived there until I was about seven. And until we moved in the new house in the country, I just thought everybody's bathroom lights flickered in the middle of the night.
Sure.
I also thought that the pale, dark-haired lady I saw in the tub lived with us. And I just never saw her during the day. My father bought that house cheap. It wasn't until much later that my parents told us a young woman was murdered there. Only weeks before my dad bought it. Her husband had electrocuted her by throwing an old radio in the bathtub while she was taking a bath.
Does that actually work?
It can work, yes.
It can? Okay.
I never asked my family if they saw the things I did, because when you don't know any different, you don't think it's strange or scary. About age 7, we moved into a house just outside of the same small West Texas town. My grandparents and Marcus's grandparents all lived in close proximity. I don't know if this is true. And as such, my first cousins did too. In fact, they lived just across the cotton field from us. It was about two sections. It took 30 to 45 minutes to walk to their house. As it turns out, my parents had a nose for buying haunted places. Strange lights and unsettling feelings were normal around the place. If Marcus was a digger, I was a builder. I took old scraps of wood and nailed them across the ceiling joints in the barn and hauled a chair up the ladder to sit. The barn loft was a place I'd like to hang out, but I never felt like I was welcome there.
Is that how people identify in Texas? Like, I dig holes. You build stuff? See, that's why we're friends.
The two people that we know from Texas this intimately, yes. In a field behind the barn, you could walk the rows and find the most incredible arrowheads and spear points just laying on the ground, especially after a rain. They glinted in the sun, and many of them were in a near-perfect condition. As it turns out, about 300 yards from the house, just across a tiny creek, was a little hill that rose inexplicably out of the relatively flat land surrounding it. It wasn't cultivated, or at least not recently. You see, in the 50s, the man from whom my father had bought the place had dug up a skeleton and some Native American paraphernalia. A very small excavation concluded that this was a Comanche burial site, and the land laid fallow. Good.
Damn.
Not good.
Not good at all.
Across that tiny creek was the quintessential steel truss bridge you'd see in every 1920s and 1930s movie.
Hmm.
The creek is just a small ditch, but could be very dangerous at a high lope in the dark. The bridge is known as the Headless Horseman Bridge. The local story goes that the creek served as a boundary between two early ranches before the land was tilled for cotton. This other neighbor was losing cattle a few at a time and had suspected his neighbor to the north was coming over at night to sneak one or two at a time back across that bridge.
Well, you know when your neighbor when your neighbor's family is just getting fatter and fatter and fatter and you keep on missing cattle and you're like, "Hey, Tom, are you taking the cows?"
No.
Shut up.
My son's getting real big.
Yes, he is.
One very dark, moonless night, the other neighbor laid in wait. I suspect that a neighbor quietly rode his black horse across the bridge. Once he had passed, the man took a roll of barbed wire and strung it tightly across the bridge, just about 7 feet high. He then retreated and watched as his neighbor cut out three or four cows and made quietly for the bridge. The man unholstered his pistols and rode straight for him at a dead run, shooting and hollering. The rustler, knowing he was caught, made for the bridge as quickly as his horse could carry him. The cattle crossed in front and then his horse, but the barbed wire caught him right at the neck and decapitated him instantly.
Damn.
And said that now he's forever looking for his head. I love Headless Horseman stories. I don't know if they're true or not, but I love them.
Absolutely.
We used to take groups of kids out to the bridge just waiting on the road as I told them the story. Then Dad would catch our bay horse, damn it, and put a coat over his head. And ride a wide circle to the bridge. Just as we walked back across the bridge, he would ride up and scare the living hell out of them. It was great.
Brilliant.
But one night, the cousins, my brother and I, decided we would go to the bridge from their house. Keep in mind, this bridge is not 100 yards from the aforementioned Comanche burial site. We walked across the bridge and expected there was a hellish scream behind us, like an Indian war cry. The unmistakable sound of a horse's gait approached at a dead run. Good job, Dad, I thought. It continued getting closer, the horse snorting and blowing and sounding like a wild cat. Scream! Finally, it became so close I wasn't taking any chances. We all ran all the way back to my cousin's house, just knowing my dad had gotten us good. But there was my dad, sitting in the chair, drinking a glass of tea. He wasn't out of breath, just relaxed as he could be. My Uncle William was there too. My grandfather was there, nobody was missing. "I bet he rode the horse over here and beat us," we said to each other, but the horse was home. No sweat, no cinch marks, no signs of being ridden. You know how that is, Kissel.
Every day I make sure the horse hasn't been ridden.
Until the day he died, my father swears nobody left the house and nobody could explain what was that chased us across miles of cotton fields that night.
Damn, very cool. We got a Sasquatch and a Headless Horseman tale. SideStoriesLPOTL@gmail.com. Please tell us your stories. Share your stories. We love to hear them.
And I'll say, next week we're going to try to have less children's come in the episode.
Yeah, I mean, if we can't, we just report the news. We are the mirror. We are the reflection of society. If people stop having sex with children, we will never mention it. I will never mention it again.
We will never mention it.
I don't want to think of it. I hate it.
I really would like to stop it. I wish that they'd stop and that everybody could just be like us and be into MILFs.
That would...
You know what I mean? Or thrill an old man. You know?
Yes, absolutely. All right, everyone. Thank you so much for listening. Hope you're doing okay out there as the world continues to kind of spin. We will we'll keep on
slowly
doing the best
spin,
we can.
And we're just kind of absolutely fucking stuck on it. Now, I want you guys to live your life like you could pretend, like know for a fact that, yeah, a lot of jobs are going to be fucking wiped out at the end of this whole scenario, whatever the hell we're in. It's very, very scary. But a thing that you can do is you can live by Be an Arts Hero. Go to Be an Arts Hero on Instagram and follow how they are trying to stop trying to figure out a way. Well, I'll go into more detail on some point on my socials. But this is a really thing talking about the art sector of this country and how theaters and bars, comic clubs are going to be fucking shuttered at the end of this. And we got to find a way to get them the subsidies that they need to stay open.
Because you want so this the main thing is comedy clubs. That's your big concern
no,
here
not
is that there's not enough.
I mean, I don't think that they're going to save America.
And buckle
but theaters and cabarets and all these things. We should talk about it, but there's a movement that my friend Jenny Macholm is working on, who is just great, and it's just I think it's really important, and cuz it's just one of those cuz because things are going to be very different a year from now. And I don't want them to be that different.
No, I'm with you. And I'll even finish off this live, laugh, love. And you have to laugh like you're at a Guck Guck's or a Snickers. You have to laugh like somebody just told you how women drive and how it's different than how men drive. And then
someone's
got to
embrace the road
differently.
Comic.
And then certain people like to roller skate. I don't know what happens at comedy clubs.
That we don't remember. We got to get back in. We don't remember. And you just got to love that one chair you spend a lot of your day in. Yep. Learn to love it better than you do. And try to reintroduce your butt to it every couple of days.
Maybe
so
fluff
it feels fresh.
Yeah. Fluff it up. All right, everyone. Love y'all. Hope you're hanging in there. Stay positive as possible. Unless you have coronavirus, then I say stay negative. Oh, too much fun. Hail yourselves, everyone.
Hail Satan.
Magustalations.
Hail me.
This show is made possible by listeners like you. Thanks to our ad sponsors, you can support our shows by supporting them. For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to lastpodcastnetwork.com.